is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
One of the things that, if I could get it back, was managing the emotional energy that went into the game, especially for our young kids who had never played a college game.
Welcome to episode 11 of our Hoopheads podcast series called Mentality with Dwayne Killings, season 1 at UAlbany. The series will continue to document Dwayne's first year as the head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. We plan to record and release 2 to 4 episodes per month with Dwayne and our players, coaches, administrators, media members, and others associated with the Great Danes basketball program to get an inside look at what being a first-year head coach at the Division I level is all about. On this episode, Dwayne and I discuss the differences in being a head coach and an assistant when it comes to in-game coaching, pre-game preparation, and post-game analysis. Dwayne also shares how important it is for him to be the leader for his players and staff and focus on the process, not just the results. We wrap up by talking about his first win against Eastern Illinois and how that feeling will always stay with him. Hey Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Chris Meadows, player development coach and author of the book, I Am D1, and you are listening to Hoopheads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Are you tired of overpaying for your video and analytics platform? Well, it's time to check out QuickCut.com, a platform built by coaches for coaches. QuickCut is undeniably more affordable. It's all cloud-based and comes packed with features to help high schools and youth programs store, share, and analyze game film. Make the switch, get double the storage, and save your program up to 50% on the fastest-growing video editing system in the country. For more information or to request a free trial, visit quickcut.com/basketball. That's QWIKCUT.com. Listen and learn from UAlbany men's basketball head coach Dwayne Killings as we discuss his experiences through his first 7 games as a head coach. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this morning, but I am pleased to be welcoming back to the podcast the head coach at the University at Albany, Dwayne Killings. Dwayne, welcome back, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Just on the road here, about to do a little recruiting today on an off day from practice and spend a little time with you. So all is good.
That's good. Glad to see that things are going well. Obviously, just the fact that it's the middle of the season and that you've got an off day with your own team and you're out on the road recruiting just gives people an idea of the amount of time that you're spending to get this thing going. I want to start out by talking to you a little bit about coaching in real games. Since the last time we talked, we chatted a little bit in the preseason about your preparation heading into game one. So let's talk a little bit about what it was like game one, that you walk in and you're the head coach versus you're the assistant coach, maybe what it felt like, how it felt differently, and just what were your experiences like actually being the guy standing up, being the guy who's responsible as opposed to being an assistant and doing your old role?
Yeah, you know, the first game, there was anxiousness, there was nervousness, there was excitement when we first walked out there. I mean, you know, for us at Albany, the energy that everybody put into the first game just to have a really good first impression for our program, for our players, for our community was awesome. I mean, we had a sellout. And I was so proud when we first walked out there and then the game starts. and you know, it moves fast. It moves really, really fast. You know, Bobby Jordan, who I know you had on in the past, who's a good friend, he just coached, you know, Wagner because of a COVID situation. And he called me after and I texted him before. I said, the game is going to move a lot faster for you as a head coach than an assistant coach. And, you know, what that means is like, it's the referees, the play calling, the energy from the bench. You're trying to manage people's emotions, the kids on the court. When you hear somebody's suggestion, you know, do you hear it with conviction or is it just like a thought and an idea, your own ideas and what you thought was going to work and what didn't work? And you're trying to process all that really, really fast. You got to make fast decisions. You're not making suggestions anymore. And I thought, like, going into the game, one of the things that, if I could get it back, was managing the emotional energy that went into the game, especially for our young kids who had never played a college game. And, you know, a couple of the kids said that, like, hey, when they saw fans, they got so excited and so jacked up, and it brought them probably up too high. And they exerted so much energy in warmups because they were trying to just get them, like, enjoy it all. And we had another kid who said his mind went black when he went out there on the court. This is his first game. And, you know, those are some possessions that if we get him back, maybe the game is a little bit different. But it was a great learning curve. And then being a head coach at Albany, you know, there's new things that we got to prepare our team for. Like, we go and play Kentucky, you know, at Marquette, you know, where I last came from, we go and play at Carolina, at UCLA, at Indiana. You know, our team was used to playing in big environments. We have 17,000 fans a night at Marquette. So going into a big arena with a lot of people was nothing new for us. So this is a different environment, different opportunity for our program here, and trying to help our kids manage that and keep them locked in and focused. And I actually said this to our team. We played Kentucky and there were fireworks go off when they're doing the starting five and nobody flinched, which was awesome because our guys were so locked in and consumed in the moment, but we had prepared them for that. And those are some of the things that you're trying to think of, trying to make sure our guys are prepared. They know what they need to do. You're trying to think of and cover as much as you can, but not overwhelm the guys so that way they can have success and compete and play with a clear mind.
Did kids have questions for you going into it? Did you have those conversations with individual players where they were coming to you or maybe coming to someone on your staff saying, especially before game one or before that Kentucky game, saying, hey, what should I be expecting? What are some things maybe I need to look out for? Did any of the kids come to you with those kinds of questions?
Yeah, there definitely was, you know, a little bit of like, you know, what's it going to – I think one of the things is guys are trying to figure out, okay, well, when am I going to go in the game, you know, just so they could be prepared. And I said, you know, I'm not a script the substitutions kind of guy. I think the game calls for what the game calls for. So Towson typically have been a, you know, man-to-man defensive team. So what are they going to be the reads and the opportunities in the half court, in the full court? You know, and also, like, we're going into the game thinking we're one kind of team. But then I think, you know, the beginning of our journey, you know, we didn't necessarily think that we were going to be a great press team. And I think there's been some opportunities to do that more with our length, the way our freshmen have been able to play. I think just the way that our team is built, that's been okay for us. And I think we found that over the first couple of games. You know, in our preparation, we talk about being consumed in the opportunity. And we have to build awareness, you know, for our guys. Because, we have some freshmen that are out there that some of these moments we put them into, this is the first time they've ever done it. So trying to train that in practice, in scout prep, in our, you know, mentality meetings and talking to our guys and trying to help them just understand what it's going to be like when they get out there for competition.
What does that look like in practice?
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, sometimes just talking to them, trying to train habits. You know, some of the guys that we have really good basketball players, and they're really good kids with the right intentions, but how they catch the ball, how they pass the ball, how they shoot the ball, you can't shoot it like it's a championship game in a championship game and expect the result if you don't train the habit in practice and when you're in your individual workouts. And that's what we try to get our guys to understand, because sometimes in practice, the habits, old habits come back to bite us, you know, just from how we reverse the ball. Sometimes we relax and the intention isn't the same way every single time. And the one time you do it the wrong way in practice, you do it that way in the game, you get burnt. And, you know, if we go back into the, you know, Kentucky game, we got a big steal just because one kid just was kind of lazy with a pass and it gave us a run and gave us some confidence. And in the same token, we do the same thing and the opposition gets a steal. And, you know, now it creates momentum for the other team. And that really hurts us. And we have to build the right habits into our team. You know, we have these mentality signs that we put up in the hotels and, you know, we have to tap them all the times. So we talk about when you tap it, it locks you in and it makes you consumed in the moment. And if you miss it, that means you're not thinking about it and you're not focused on it. You're not aware. So we're trying to do little tricks to build the mindset that we want and to build the awareness that we're trying to train for our guys to have success. And they've been great. And the staff has been great about using film and getting guys on the court, because we have to train the individual and the whole team to be able to get the results that we want. Because again, we're building this from the ground up. You know, we are new guys that we're trying to build every single day. We have to be consumed in that.
When the game ends as a head coach, and you compare that to the way you felt as an assistant, win or lose, and then thinking about what you do to then go back over what just happened in that game and then think about what you need to prepare for the next game, how is that different from your post-game routine as an assistant coach?
Yeah, I mean, the first night we played Towson, after the game, I couldn't eat and I couldn't sleep. I mean, it tore me apart. Well, also, like, I wanted us to have success and show ourselves the right way for all the people involved, our players, our coaches, our administration, the community. I mean, there's a lot of people that have invested in our program. And I had to separate myself from the game a little bit to say, like, our guys played hard. You know, they played really, really hard and the game got away from them. And, you know, Towson did some really good things and they're a really good team. I mean, they're playing really good basketball right now. They took an ACC team down to, you know, a one possession game. I mean, it's just, but I had to walk away from it a little bit to look at it and say, like, okay, well, how have we grown? And I've really focused on the process. If I focus on our record, I'd probably lose my mind, but we've gotten better. You know, we're a better defensive team. We've grown some of our individual players. Our freshmen have come a long way. We have four freshmen that are playing in games. I mean, they're impacting our program. Now, you know, we have to do a better job offensively and defensively, and we will. But we've grown, which is really exciting. You know, I keep a journal where I'll talk about the goals and the things I think that we should be able to do in the game. And then I'll write back after what we didn't do. And I'll talk about, you know, I'll write notes to myself about the energy I felt in the locker room from the coaches and the players before and after the game. Because, you know, again, we have to all, I got to get everybody, you know, swimming and directed in the same direction. And, you know, sometimes it's natural. Like, you know, guys start thinking about themselves internally. And I have to fix that where we're thinking and consuming ourselves with the team and what we're trying to do. And that's some of the things that I'll go through. And then I'll watch the film. You know, actually, when I was at Marquette, you know, we used to watch the games right after we were done. And I thought when we were doing that, actually, one time, Quinn Snyder was in town. And he came in and sat with us. And he just talked about when you do that, just your emotions are all jacked up, you know, from the game, you know, whether it's you're really excited you won or you're really disappointed that you didn't perform the way you wanted to. So sometimes it's hard to, you know, be objective about what you're looking at and what you're trying to process. And then what happens, you end up watching it again. So I actually have said to myself, I try to not watch it right after the game and then watch it the next day where I can have a fresh mind. I can kind of let my thoughts go through. And, you know, I think after the games, everybody's throwing ideas at you, players, coaches, friends are texting you. You got to do the media. So there's all these thoughts going through. You got to slow your mind down to process what just happened and why it happened and how you can help your kids and what's your message going to be to your staff and your players the next day. And again, keep everybody. I don't want our program to be okay with not winning, but I do want to be able to reflect on what we're doing well and what we're not doing well. And then also be able to really have a lot of conviction about what we're trying to build and not go off script. Because I think that's really easy right now when you're first building it is, okay, this isn't working. Let's just trash it and do something else. Well, how do we just invest time to get it right? You know, what we're trying to do, get it right and maximize the opportunity for our players and for our program. And then, you know, we'll go back and we'll do feedback with our team. You know, it could be bits and pieces of the game or just isolated possessions. And, you know, one thing, you know, being in this position is you don't have a lot of time. You know, you're against the clock all the time. So what's the most important thing? And, you know, you have to always negotiate that because, again, from your staff, I have a great staff. We've done a really good job. You know, Matt Griffin, Hamlet Tibbs, Dan Jackson, KJ Baptiste, Dan Mahapapillo, Matt Ciocci, the guys on our staff have done a great job developing our guys mentally and physically. So that way we're not turning the ball over as much as we were at the beginning. That's growth. So how do we continue to grow on those things? So that way we're just becoming the best team now we can become.
How do you share some of those process things that you're writing down in your notebook? How do you share that with your players so that they understand that maybe we're not getting that result on the scoreboard, but here's things that we're getting better? Is that team offensive and defensive goals? Is that things that you're seeing when you're watching film? Is that an energy level and enthusiasm that you're watching that you're trying to make sure that the players understand what they need from you out of that? What does it look like to make sure that you're progressing and something tangible that the players can grab onto? Because obviously everybody can see the scoreboard, but maybe everybody can't always see the progress that you're making. It becomes a little bit more difficult for coaches, I'm sure, and for players, I know, to understand and see that even though we're not getting the results we want win-loss-wise, we are still making progress towards getting better, which is ultimately going to lead to more success on the scoreboard. So how do you share that stuff with players?
Yeah, tomorrow, you know, we'll do something. We have a thing called the DOC, and, you know, we'll go through defense, offense, and culture, and I'll ask them, okay, where are we at right now? You know, what are we doing really well in our defense? Give us three or four things, our offense and our culture, and then give me three or four things we're not doing well. And then, okay, let's game plan for the week. You know, how are we now going to fix those things moving forward? A lot of that's going to happen in practice. Today, our seniors will get together and actually give me some thoughts about what the practice plan will be like for tomorrow on Saturday. And the reason why I wanted to do that was so we get more buy-in and investment from our older guys, our leaders. And we need that desperately to grow our program to where we want it to go in this year. And let's comb it down for this month. Let's go a little further for tomorrow's practice. So that's why I want them to help, you know, with that. You know, we haven't finished well on the rim, around the rim. So we showed them clips of it. And then again, going back, you know, we'll talk about, okay, well, is there our approach in practice? You know, if we're not attacking, you know, a coach with a pad the way we would against Kentucky, then, I mean, some of it is, you know, we've used this term self-inflicted wounds. We're not preparing ourselves for success. And we have to be held accountable to that. And we have to have some buy-in to that. Just it's a mental focus. And one of the things I've said to our guys is, you know, we need to have energy and toughness because that's some ways how we can close the gap, you know, in some of the games that we're going to play. I mean, we still have really good basketball teams to play throughout the course of this year. And, you know, it's sometimes it's the energy that you see on the bench. We call it Venergy. Great. We need to see that. Sometimes the energy and enthusiasm you see on the court, like you mentioned, but sometimes it's just a mental energy to be focused on the moment, whether it's scout prep or a walkthrough in practice. And we're learning how to do these things as a program collectively. And we've gotten better. We need to still grow in those respects. And, you know, one of the things that we did in this last game, you know, Coach Griffin actually had a really good idea. We just broke the game down to, you know, 10 4-minute periods. And we said, okay, let's just figure out, okay, let's try to win this 4-minute war. And if we didn't, what didn't we do? We give them two quick things in the huddle. And I thought there was great buy-in to that because it just shrunk the game down, you know, a little bit. And then we'll give them some feedback about, okay, what didn't we do in this 4-minute war? And here's why we didn't win it. And then at the same token, you know, 8 minutes ago against Eastern Illinois, you know, we were down and we were kind of stuck in the mud and we grinded ourselves through it and, you know, had an opportunity to win our first game. And we made some big plays around the rim. We talked about being selfless going into that game, in the Kentucky game. And I thought we had some really selfless plays where we're sharing the ball and making the right read. And that's why we won. So we want to highlight those things so guys understand that's what it takes to have success. The problem is that we got to help our guys understand you have to do that over and over and over and over again. And sometimes it's not flashy plays. It's just making the right screen, making the right pass. Now we get a higher quality shot and we get a higher quality result.
We're going to talk about that first win here in a second, but I want to ask you about something that you just brought up there, thinking about those 4-minute periods and sharing a couple things that you need to do to win those 4-minute time slots. As a head coach, during timeouts, I'm sure that there's a million things that you're seeing during live action that you want to come in and be able to share with your players. And we know as coaches that you can't give them everything that you're seeing. So you have to narrow that down. So what was that like for you to run a timeout as a head coach? Was it difficult, easy to find the things that you wanted to zero in on as you're going through timeouts compared to what you did as an assistant? Just what's it like running a timeout as a head coach?
You know, one of the things that when we're in the huddles is I want to make sure that we're all locked into the moment so that the guys that are, you know, behind the five guys that are on the floor, that they're focused, you know, really, really focused on whatever is being said. So that way we have the success that we're talking about, or we don't make the same mistake that we're trying to address in the huddle. And then to your point, you're thinking about what's the most important thing. Is it the defensive rotation and what we need to do? Is it the possession that we're about to go into? Is it giving the guy that has the scout an opportunity to talk about what could be coming up the next time? And you're trying to manage as best you can in a small window of time and then still give these guys confidence, you know, in themselves, give confidence who's going in the game. Maybe there's somebody that doesn't give a strong look or they don't seem like they're sure. So then you have to address that really quick and you're trying to process everything. And then, you know, at the same time, there may be an assistant that you feel like he has something or to say or that he could add value to. And maybe you're trying to encourage him. So you're managing, in reality, 21 human beings, you know, based off what you're seeing and what you feel like is the most important thing in that moment. And does that now create some momentum when they go out on the floor? And that's a constant negotiation, you know, with your program and with yourself. And then at the same time, you don't want to move too fast. With your words, with whatever instructions that you're trying to give to the team, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who's prepared to have success this next possession, and whatever you're going to run, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, because you always have to give confidence, get buy-in, help our guys have success, help our guys gain momentum as soon as they get back on the floor.
What's the learning curve been like as an in-game coach having to manage all the things that you have to as a head coach versus being an assistant coach? What's that been like? Do you feel like you've gotten a better handle on it as you've got a couple games of experience as a head coach under your belt?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I try to watch the game 2 or 3 times after we play, and sometimes I watch myself because, again, like whatever energy I'm giving off is our team's going to absorb that, and that's really important. You know, and you have to manage your frustrations, obviously, because, again, your staff and your players, they're absorbing those things as well. And, you know, if you get really frustrated with the referees, well, your staff and your players will also. You get really frustrated with what's happening on the court, then it's easy for the guys to do that. And then at the same time, they're looking for you for inspiration, for energy, for confidence. So, you know, I'm thinking about those things. And then at the same time, you still have to add the adjustments that you're trying to make. And, you know, what are you seeing on the floor based off what the opposing team is trying to do offensively and defensively, and what opportunities does it, you know, present? But it's funny, though, like as an assistant coach, I all of it's not on you, you know, so it's a different set of emotions that you see. So when you're throwing things out there, sometimes they're just ideas. Whatever you're doing next as a head coach, I mean, it impacts the game, and you're putting it all out there on the team. And if it's not right, you have to own that. And that's stuff that, you know, I think about, and then, you know, watching the games and thinking about, okay, what could we have done different right in this moment, especially when you look at key sequences in the game that maybe the game opened up. We played Harvard, and I thought if I went back to the last 4 minutes of the game, I thought there were some things we could have done differently that could have given our program more opportunities for success. So going back through it and then thinking about, okay, the next time we're in that situation, what could we do? How could we run a different play call? How could we manage substitutions different? How could we give them the lineup that's out there a better opportunity to have a better possession defensively or offensively? So that way, just again, I mean, some of it is the repetition our team needs. Some of it is what I need, but I feel really confident in what we're trying to do and the way our team has embraced it. You know, it feels really good. And I think, you know, right now when we go out there, I think our team has commanded a level of respect based off how we've gone out there and played and some of the success our individual players have had. So now, you know, we're being scouted different. We're being game plan different. So now it's the next set of adjustments for our team for this next set of games.
What's the prep been like for each of your opponents? How have you gone about making sure that your team's prepared? What's the scouting process? How do you assign it out to your assistants? Just what's that look like?
Yeah, each one of my assistants, you know, they have an equal number of scouts, which is a rotation. You know, I'm not a big, I know some teams do it now, you know, where one guy has the defense, one guy has the offense, one guy has the special situations, baseline out of bounds, whatever you call it. My personal growth has come from having scouts and being able to sit there and, you know, game plan and think about what you can do defensively and offensively and getting feedback from guys and working, you know, together has been great for me. And I want that for my staff. I think it can be really healthy. And the guys have done a great job just coming up with different ideas. You know, I think we've been in really good positions in games, you know, like first half of games against high major competition. I mean, you know, we've gone in the locker room, 2 or 3 possession games. And, you know, we made some decisions offensively that kind of helped the game kind of get away from us a little bit. So how can we fix that? But I think it's been really healthy how we've approached scouting. So we'll go through, you know, starting on Sunday for our game, you know, Tuesday, we'll go through game prep. Hamlet Tibbs has a scout. So he'll go through personnel first. You know, that was something our kids wanted versus going through what we call the DLC first. They want to know the personnel first. So go through personnel. We'll walk through a couple of plays. We'll defend their actions, you know, on the court in practice on day one leading up into the game. Day two, we'll go through the DOC. And that's defense, offense, culture. So we'll go through what we need to do defensively, what we need to do offensively, what our culture looks like. So we'll talk about, for that, we'll talk about, you know, being the most connected team, and that's sharing the basketball. Being the toughest team, that could be getting 90-10 balls. You know, we don't call them 50-50s, we call them 90-10s. We'll kind of go through some of that. Again, we'll defend their stuff. And then the day of the game, we'll walk through your actions one more time, kind of ask questions, go through baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds, go through our offensive menu for the game. And then for me, I'll listen. I'll meet with the assistant that has the scout. They'll give me their ideas. I'll listen. I'll hear them out. I'll take notes of what, you know, whatever it is that they're talking about. Then I'll go through and watch the games, watch 2, 3, maybe 4 games of the opposition and just kind of almost like I was an assistant again, just kind of put through my own ideas and thoughts. I'll go back to them maybe with some adjustments or some ideas of what I have. We'll kind of figure it out. And I'll do one last edit the game of the day of the game of some things that I think this, we need to overemphasize leading up to the game to give our guys opportunities for success. And I'll look at what other teams have done. Maybe there's a wrinkle that we can do to what we do. You know, the guys that come up with really creative ideas defensively to help us come up with some, could be turnovers, could be adjustments to what we do defensively just to prepare our guys. And although, you know, our defensive numbers don't show it, I think we've become a really solid defensive team that could grow into a really good defensive team as we, you know, continue on our journey throughout the year.
All right, let's end on a positive note. First victory ever in your career over Eastern Illinois. What was the feeling like as it was happening? And then what's that feeling like in the locker room with your guys getting an opportunity to celebrate? And obviously you have to know that, hey, we got another game coming up and this is one, hopefully of many, but how did it feel to get that first one under your belt?
It felt great. It felt great for the kids. We needed it. I thought it's funny. Like one of the things I'll do the night before the game is I'll write out, you know, some ideas for ATOs, baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds, full court, just to have it and to get it in my mind. And you know, for that opportunity to come up the last possession of the game to get the ball in Dre Perry's hands, he makes the right read, ball goes through the net, Justin Neely makes a three, was terrific. And then to go in the locker room and, you know, the kids did what they did. I mean, you remember that forever. And you may not remember the play forever, but you remember the emotions in the locker room, you know, forever. And, you know, one of the kids said to me, you know, hopefully he brought a shirt, you know, in the locker room because, you know, they doused me with water. And I did because I believed that they were going to win. And I believe in our kids and I believe in our program. And I believe in what we're doing. And that's I packed it in my backpack. And because I believed that we were going to win that game. And I also packed one with me for Kentucky because I believed we were going to win that game. And, you know, there was a point in the Kentucky game where I could tell our kids believed that they could win the game. And that was awesome. I mean, that was terrific to see that, to feel that, because that means like there's great buy-in, there's great belief in each other and what we're trying to do. And that's all you want. I mean, you got to believe you can do the things we're trying to do first and foremost. Otherwise, none of it's going to work. So it felt great. And the crazy thing, I guess, as a head coach is I was thinking like, okay, what do we have to do next? And that's, you know, that was the part that is kind of crazy. Cause you know, my parents texted me like, how's it feeling? And it felt great. But then immediately it was like, okay, what do we need to do next? You know, because I think as a leader and as a head coach, it's not about you. It's about the other kids and staff members and the community and the administration and the school. So it's hard to think for yourself. You know, there's so many things that you have to do to get this right. So immediately, you know, I just started thinking about others. And I think that's just who I am. And that's what I'm trying to do is make sure this program impacts people, impacts our players. So to do that the right way, you constantly got to be consumed in thinking of other people. And that's what I'm trying to do for our kids, because if we can consume it thinking about our teammates, consumed with what's best for the program, if we get that right, we're going to have more success, because that means that we're going to be in the right spot to rotate defensively and help. That means that we're going to reverse the ball because we're going to find the best shot that we can. And, you know, if that's who I am as a person, then I believe that's going to become who we are as a program.
And that comes out after a win, obviously, but that same mentality comes out after a loss. And like I texted you in the immediate aftermath of that first victory, it's going to be the first of many. So congratulations on that one. And you got a long season still ahead of you, and your team, I know, is going to continue to get better. You're going to continue to work hard. And I hope that all the recruiting that you're going to be doing during season ends up bringing in a lot of great players that are going to continue to help you to build the program. And I can't thank you enough for talking to us here in the car. Appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.